Namaste and welcome to Radio Eka. Eka is a yoga and meditation app from India. And our focus is to help you learn the various yogic tools such as pranayama, yoga nidra, meditations, chanting, and asana. The purpose of this podcast is to understand more about these practices and delve deeper into the history, the philosophy, and the science of yoga. If you want to try the app, you can download it from the iOS or the Android stores and also use the code RADIO to get 1 week free access to the app. My name is Priyanka, and you can learn more about me and the other associated teachers with the Eka app on our website, www.ekameditation.com.
Today I have with me Sudipta Shanbhag, who is my co-founder on the Eka Meditation app and is a yoga teacher with 25 years of practicing and 10 years of teaching experience. Sudipta is trained in many different styles of yoga over the years, and some of you might already be familiar with her if you've practiced from the Eka app. Today we are talking about pranayama and its importance during the times of COVID. So welcome, Sudipta. I'm glad to have you here with me.
Yeah, I'm excited to do this one with you.
Okay, so we'll start. Pranayama or breathing exercises is really interesting to a lot of people who practice yoga. And currently, it is being recommended in a big way, even for people who are outside of the yoga community. A lot of yoga teachers, apps are recommending it. And even Johns Hopkins University has put out its recommendations for COVID recovery, and they are mainly pranayama techniques. So what is the relevance of pranayama right now, and why is it so useful?
So I feel pranayama has come to the forefront now because it's zero cost, it's very effective, and it's accessible to all, and no special equipment is required. And it works both as a preventative measure as well as helps in recovery. So that's why it's such a powerful tool. And Johns Hopkins protocol is basically abdominal breathing, chest breathing, extended exhale, and humming, which is Bhramari Pranayama. And all of these help to strengthen the respiratory system. So the lungs and the muscles that support our breathing, all of that is being worked on. Basically, these practices help us exercise different parts of our breathing pattern. And then they put it all together. So we work on it separately and together. And the humming has a double effect, of course. It relaxes the body and mind, and it also works on the breath. So I would say working on the nervous system, calming the body, and strengthening. And of course, the last bit is that pranayama means ayama of the prana, which is expansion of the life force. So, you know, you feel energized and relaxed after doing a pranayama practice.
Okay, so because this disease primarily affects the lungs, it is great to exercise the lungs and strengthen them. That makes sense. Is that what it is? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So pranayama works on strengthening the muscles. We can check in and maintain the function of our lungs by exercising the breath in different ways. Although not all pranayams are suitable for everyone, certainly the ones that I just spoke about are safe for everyone to do. And we should be doing them regularly, even if it is as a warm-up before our exercise routine. And particularly now during the time of COVID, where everyone is looking to improve breath and lung function, definitely this is the way to go.
Okay, so you mentioned abdominal breathing, Bhramari Pranayama, and extended exhale. It'd be really good if you could, you know, make us practice these, understand how it worked, and explain a little bit in more detail what really happens in the body when we do.
Sure. Yeah. So I think what we could do is maybe we could experience the difference between belly breathing and chest breathing, which I think a lot of people do unconsciously. If you notice a baby breathing, it's mainly breathing with the belly. You know, if the baby is sleeping, you can see the belly rising and falling. And that's where we all start. And I see people in their 50s and 60s, and the abdominal breathing is almost to zero, and they only breathe through the chest, which is a lot harder to do. So let's try it out. I'll just adjust Yeah, you can place one hand on your belly and one hand on your chest. And for the first few breaths, try not to move your chest at all. Relax your belly. And then inhale, expand your abdomen. 2, 3, 4. And then slowly breathe out. You'll feel the belly going in. And at the very end, you can squeeze the belly in towards the spine. Inhale, expand your belly. Smooth and slow breath. 2, 3, 4. And then exhale all the way out as slowly as you can. And then relax for a moment, take a regular breath. And we'll repeat the same thing, but in the reverse. So we'll only expand the chest and keep the belly static without movement. Okay? Inhale, expand only your chest. 2, 3, 4. And exhale out as slowly as you can. Couple more times like this. Inhale into the chest. Exhale. You'll feel the difference between abdominal breathing and chest breathing. Chest breathing feels a little bit more effortful, and abdominal breathing feels so relaxed. So if we are doing chest breathing during the day, it's likely that we're holding some tension in the belly all throughout. And that is unnecessarily adding effort to a practice, or rather a function of our body, which is happening 24 hours of the day. So the other one is Bhramari that you mentioned. Bhramari is a humming breath. Even children do it when they're self-soothing. You know, after they finish bawling and crying, you can hear them. Because it's very soothing for the mind to listen to that sound of ma. So we can try that out. We'll do it simply without the hands. Just keep your hands relaxed on your lap. And you can close your eyes. Breathing in through the nose. And feel the vibrations of that makara, the humming, as you exhale out. The lips remain sealed throughout, and there's a little bit of gap between the rows of teeth so that they don't jangle. Let's do that a couple more times to really feel that benefit. Breathing in through the nose. One more time, in through the nose. You can feel the vibrations as you exhale and make that humming sound all through your body. Primarily, you may feel it in your head and neck region, but it's really traveling all through, because the water in our body is helping those sound waves move through all the way across to the limbs as well.
Thanks. I think it was very relaxing. I think both of these. When you talk about children and how they naturally do these things, then what really happens over the years? You know, why do we start breathing from the chest? Or why do these natural mechanisms go away?
A part of it is, I think, to do with unconscious stress that we hold in the body. Especially in a time like this one, where there's a lot of uncertainty, and there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress. People hold tension in the body in different places. Some people may hold it more near the neck, shoulders, and others may hold it near the belly. And through, as they go through life, people unconsciously develop some patterns, and the breath, posture, all of that changes. You know, the posture affects the breath, and the breath also affects the posture in some ways. So being aware of your posture, maintaining that upright posture, that helps us to breathe comfortably without straining or additional strain. There is always effort in the breath, but we don't want to overdo it. And the other part of it, I think, is for women in particular, we feel, I definitely felt it after I had my kids, you know, that, you know, my belly had bulged out and I wanted to hold it in. So I think that is also one other area where that pattern develops, where we're trying to kind of, you know, keep the tummy tight or whatever. And we end up affecting the breath in a very, very large way without knowing it. So I think these are a couple of reasons why this happens.
Okay. And the one thing that's happening for sure is that we are strengthening those muscles and we are trying to change the patterns. But the relaxation we felt, like the Murkara and the other relaxation that came from the abdominal breathing, I think there is also the nervous system response that pranayam triggers, right? So I think it'd be interesting to talk about that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So the breath is two parts. One is the inhale where we are breathing in. That actually excites us. It increases the heart rate slightly. Actually, Huberman podcast has a good explanation of it, and on his Instagram post also you can see the animation of it. And the exhalation is very calming, relaxing. So inhale is connected with the sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight or flight mode, and the exhale is connected with the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest. I'm not saying that every time you inhale you're going to go into a fight or flight response. I'm just saying that it's sort of the same kind of thing that happens where the heart rate goes up and you feel a little bit more alert on the inhale, whereas on the exhale, you feel a little bit more relaxed. You hear that term all the time, right? Relax and let go. It's easier to relax on the exhalation.
Okay.
So did I answer your question?
No, absolutely. I think what you're saying is that the parasympathetic mode is linked with the exhalation, and these exercises that we did impact the exhalation especially.
Yeah. If you notice, I was saying, like breathe out as slowly as you can. So the idea is to lengthen that exhalation. Bhramri does it very well because you don't even realize you're doing it. You just want to make that humming sound go on for longer. So you end up exhaling for longer. And so it stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system. But the other part is doing the extended exhale by itself, the vritti pranayam, whether you're doing it with abdominal breathing or full yogic breathing. So you inhale to a count of four maybe, and then you exhale to a count of six, seven, eight or more. So all of these help with that. And if you're familiar, if the listeners are familiar with a practice called Nadi Shodhana, after practicing equal inhale, exhale for a while, we move on to adding the same kind of ratio even in that pranayam. So all of those are geared to stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system, all to bring it to balance.
So, I always feel that when I started doing yoga and somebody would ask me to do pranayam, it was such a baffling thing for me because coming from, we don't really exercise our breath consciously growing up. And it's becoming more commonplace now. And obviously, Kapalbhati became very popular because Baba Ramdev recommended it. But the techniques we're talking about today are very basic, simple ones, which are not, you'll not see them on national TV. And I find it really interesting that these are such strong practices, such simple practices. And they're not part of our daily lives. And it's pretty, it's something that could change so much about our responses. It's relaxing. It can build our immunity. It can strengthen our lungs. So all of this is really interesting to me. And I wonder why is that so? Do you have an answer for that? Why is pranayam not more popular than
I think there are a couple of thoughts that I have on this. One part is that pranayam is generally considered to be boring. I don't know if you heard this growing up, that it's for it's for old people, it's boring, it's not important. And Kapalbhati actually kind of excites you in the sense that it puts you in an elevated energy level, right? It makes you wake up a little bit. So I think a lot of people are attracted to that practice because it makes you feel something very different. And especially if you're younger, I think you get really attracted to that practice. And I see people who come in for classes who are doing Kapalbhati 5-6 times a day, 400 pumps each time. And they're not complementing it with something that relaxes them. It's this idea of keeping yourself busy. Similar to that, even in the practice, they just want to do the workout part, but they don't want to do the warm up or the cool down, which are very, very important aspects I was just listening to a podcast a couple of days back about this, about the importance of warm-up and cool-down, and warm-up in particular, because you want that oxygen to go everywhere before you start working out, so you have muscles. Similar thing for pranayama. So these are actually the warm-ups for pranayama. You can do Kapalbhati. It's not a bad practice. I'm not saying it's a bad practice. I'm saying that before you do it, warm up your body, you know, warm up the chest muscles, the diaphragm, the intercostal muscles, the neck, the lower back muscles, all of these by doing abdominal breathing, chest breathing, clavicular breathing, full yogic breathing. All of these practices are a key to how the rest of the practice will go. If you are a runner or a swimmer or whatever, if you just jump in and get into the activity right away, you feel breathless within a few minutes. That's because you have not warmed up. The blood supply is not really, geared up at that moment for that movement. But after 10, 15 minutes, the run becomes quite comfortable, right? Because the blood flow is now at a level which is maintaining or supplying enough for the muscles. So I think it's like a warm up. So we have to do it. And even just doing the warm up is enough, is what I'm saying. You don't have to do some of the more advanced practices, but people get attracted to that. Even when people come to a yoga class, I think it happens, right? We want to do that handstand or that headstand, but really the preparatory poses are so important. You know, you take the time to prepare your body, your muscles, your joints in order to do those other intermediate advanced practices.
Right. And I think also maybe we are not even aware, you know, if you're not practicing yoga regularly, breathing exercises regularly, then you're not even aware the impact that all these things have. So you're looking for that positive benefit, but you might have a day where you are reacting a lot, you're angry a lot, you're agitated a lot. And you don't know that it may be coming from your practice, because you did a very energizing practice and there is, you know, this energy that's coming out and it has no place to go.
Yes. So, you and I know, we have answered so many questions on the app where people are, you know, doing Kapalbhati all the time and not doing anything to relax and come back to balance. They're just doing only a very, very excitatory practice. And anytime you leave a yoga practice, you should be feeling pretty calm and relaxed. You know, you have to balance it out. Even if you're doing a handstand practice, take the time to cool down, come back to balance, and then, you know, go back to your regular activity. It's so important.
So another question I have is, it's about meditation versus pranayama, right? Because mindfulness meditation is so popular and breathing exercises have just started to become popular. So as a beginner, what do you recommend? Like whether one should start with pranayama or but should start with meditation or both, or how does it?
I think if you're very anxious, it's difficult to sit with your thoughts right off the bat. It needs some preparation, and pranayama is an easier way to approach that practice. You know, you start with pranayama, then you can do meditation, even in the same sittings. I'm not saying you have to wait for months to do meditation. The same sitting, you start with a little bit of breath work, you ease your nervous system. Suppose you are trying to do meditation because you are agitated at that moment, it is going to be much harder to do it. So a lot of meditative practices also start by observing the breath, because it's kind of it's always there for us. It's always with us. We can observe it and, realize where we are. But for a beginner, to observe the breath itself is very difficult. I've heard people saying, how can you observe the breath? What does that mean? Or I don't feel my breath, you know? So if that is the case, then doing something like a counting practice, you know, inhale to 3, 4, exhale to 3, 4. That becomes more accessible. And that can be your entry point. And after doing that maybe 10, 15 times, then you kind of relax and then you can go on to observing the breath. By then you are familiar with that movement of the breath in the body. And then you can just observe the movement maybe of the belly or of the chest or of the sensation at your nostrils. I'd like to hear what you said also, or what you have to say about this as well, because I know that you have also spoken to people who find it difficult right. to start with meditation.
No, actually, if you ask me, I think once you start doing pranayam, it becomes so natural to do it before you do any of the concentrative practices, because you know that you will get into the zone with it. You know, it's like a centering practice. And you really, like you said, right, your mind quietens down. So it's very good if you have, you know, if you have a daughter like me. So you're always in that rush of doing things, finishing things. So how do you really come to a stop so that you are ready to observe the thoughts? And also, like you said, right, that once you start exercising these muscles, you really feel good. So your breath slowly improves, it becomes deeper. So when you're observing the breath, the effects also you're able to observe. My personal experience is that it becomes a natural thing to do pranayama once you learn it. So definitely, I think, like you said,
I do think that it's more powerful, the pranayama practice.
For beginners, right? Like, yeah.
Correct. And I think meditation becomes deeper after the pranayama practice. Like if you... Yes. do a little bit of preparation and then you sit for meditation, it just goes very differently. The experience is very different.
Right. I mean, it's not part of the podcast, but I think body scan and pranayama, both I feel are great preparatory practices. You know, just becoming familiar with the body sensations and then regulating the breath a little bit really prepares you.
Yeah, because it really builds awareness, and that's kind of the whole
point.
Purpose
yeah.
of yoga, you know.
Yeah. And especially like during COVID, we all are anxious, so it acts in like two ways, right? It brings down that anxiety, plus it strengthens the muscles, so we're better ready to face all the challenges that are coming up our way. So that's great. Say you start doing pranayama, how do you really know that you're improving? Because maybe in the beginning it'll not be very obvious. How do you know that you breathe well? How do you know that you don't breathe well? Like one thing I understand you said about chest breathing and belly breathing. So is that one way? Like, how do I know how well I breathe?
Yeah. So I think that is one of the things, like, you know, you're observing which part of your body you're using to breathe, which part of the torso you're using to breathe. And within that also, I think that, you know, we naturally breathe in a combination of belly breathing, chest breathing, right? It's not like we only do belly breathing or only do chest breathing. It's a combination. When you observe it over a period of time, you start noticing the pattern. And on days where you're doing more chest breathing, you realize, oh, I may be, you know, anxious or maybe holding my belly tight. So it's a part of it is that you start becoming more aware of how your breath is, which parts you're using. And we already know that if we do abdominal breathing, it's going to be a lot more easy for the body to do. And the other aspect is, I would say, think about all the activities that you do. Once you start this regimen of pranayama, even if it's all of these, you know, the simpler practices, how many steps can you climb in a row without getting out of breath? Or you will definitely have an increase in heart rate and all of that. Yes, it will be happening. But how comfortable are you to do the 10 steps versus 15 steps? Can you jog? Can you run? Western or rather exercise point of view, if you look at it, we do cardio, we do weight lifting, we do stretching, we do power building exercises, we do different things and train the muscles in different ways. Why do we do it? So that when we need to do it in our daily life, we will be able to do it easier. If I have to pick up a suitcase, I should be able to do it. So I do weights in the gym to help me to maintain the muscular strength required to do that, right? So similarly, we are doing all of these breathing exercises to help us live our life more comfortably. So when the need arises for me to, the lift is not working, I have to climb 14 floors, then I should be able to do that with. So for a beginner, I would say first observation of the breath to get to know your breath better. And that way you will know where you are each day when you start. And the second part is just how well can you do your daily activities? Are you out of breath just sweeping the floor or whatever activity it is that you do daily? Notice the difference after doing pranayama practices for a few weeks.
Okay. And I think just to add to this? Is there any condition that you should not be doing pranayam, just so that, you know, our listeners know under what circumstances they should not be doing these practices?
So for abdominal breathing, Brahmari, and full yogic breathing, extended exhale, these are all actually very simple, safe practices to do for everyone. If you're in the later stages of your pregnancy, abdominal breathing will be next to impossible because your abdomen is already, you know, full. Like, you know, you really cannot get the diaphragm down. It's very difficult to take a deep breath. But all of the other things you can definitely do, and anyone can do these practices, whether you have hypertension or diabetes or any other lifestyle disease, you can definitely do abdominal breathing, you can definitely do full yogic breathing, you can do Brahmari pranayam. The thing is, you have to check where you stop. Like if I'm doing abdominal breathing and I do it with this, and I keep going and I'm uncomfortable and I'm not listening to my body, then abdominal breathing is also, right? We have to kind of figure out what is my limit. So do the breathing only up to the point where there is no discomfort in the body. There should be no strain, rather. You may feel a little bit like, oh, this is about my limit. So you kind of go to that edge and you then exhale. So push yourself. Don't think that I have to do 4 count inhale and 6 count exhale. Maybe today it is 3 count inhale and 5 count exhale. That's fine. Listen to the body and make it very comfortable. See, heart and the cardiac system and the respiratory system, heart and lungs, work together like a unit. So if you're straining the lungs, you'll automatically feel the strain in the heart and vice versa. So they work as a team. Try to make them feel comfortable.
And I think the beauty of these practices is that you can do them lying down too, like all the practices that you mentioned. So correct. If your body is not, even if you're not sitting erect, right, you can just lie down and do them. And I think that's what...
Abdominal breathing is so good to do in lying down position. And even full yogic breathing, like, you know, we have the Relax and Recover series, in which we actually covered all of these practices only. It's on YouTube and it's free for anyone to watch. Lying down with your arms, you know, like a goalpost or, you know, holding opposite elbows, it just gives you such a beautiful, deep, easy breath without strain. When sitting, like you said, if you are fatigued, it's difficult to sit for a period of time. Or if you have low back pain, for example, it's a little bit difficult. But lying down, yeah, it's absolutely so wonderful to do it lying down.
And I think after COVID, whether you've gone through COVID or you're a caregiver, if you've gone through some anxious moments, I think just getting up without eating anything, you know, in your bed, you can do them lying down, or just, you know, just 5 minutes, 10 minutes of these would make such a huge difference to your body and your breath and you're prepared for the day. So I think the ease of doing it is also really amazing. And it's safe.
Yeah, and actually that's a good point that you mentioned. I should have said it earlier that although anyone can do all of these practices, you have to be on an empty stomach because otherwise it will kind of interfere with your digestive process.
Right. So yeah, on an empty stomach, I think that's one of the key things about yogic practices. Most of these, right, we do on empty stomach.
Correct.
So that's really great. I feel it's been a really informative session. And for COVID, before or after, these safe practices are good. And you can do them lying down. You can start from there. If you're anxious, you can start from there. If you're not anxious, but just want to get better, you can start from there. And a lot of people will recommend building a mindfulness practice. But pranayam can be something that you do before that. It's easier, it's faster in terms of, you know, how you feel better soon.
Yeah. I think everybody has their own preferred method, right? It's kind of like even in physical activity, some people like walking, some people like swimming, running, some people like dancing. So, you know, explore and see what works for you. And if you've only done meditation, you're finding it hard, then include pranayam before you do it and see if it makes a difference. Maybe you will want to explore pranayam more. Yeah.
And I'd like to add that on the app, we have a step-by-step building a pranayam practice courses. And those sections are the most like popular. People who do them really do them repeatedly and We get so many wonderful reviews about that, you know, pranayama is the key to getting deeper, things like that. A lot of people have written great reviews. So it's a great place to start. A lot of it is also free. At least all these simple practices are all free for anybody to practice.
Yeah.
So please.
And we also have the COVID section on the app, so you can try those. That has all the calming breaths. So all of these calming breaths are there. It also has Ujjayi there, of course. But so try out the Yoga for COVID section or the Pranayama section. Or if you want to go to YouTube and do it on YouTube, that's also fine. We have a 10-day series, Relax and Recover. It has pranayama followed by yoga nidra in every single practice. And they're short practices. They're 30, 35-minute practices.
Nice. I think we'll take up pranayama for anxiety separately again sometime when we go deeper into anxiety, because I think a lot of these techniques are also helpful in managing panic attacks and other effects that happen on the breath. But we'll take it up separately. Thanks a lot, Sudipta. It was wonderful. And Sudipta is an expert teacher. You can see her videos on YouTube on pranayama. We have so many. And also Swami Yogaratna, she has recorded a few that are there on the YouTube. So thank you. Thank you for joining.
Yeah, this was wonderful. I had a really good time doing this. And, you know, the way you phrase your questions, it really makes me think and kind of put together all the information from East, West.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.